Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, first of all, you're going to hear a lot from Tim Walz this evening, and you just heard it in the answer. A lot of what Kamala Harris proposes to do, and some of it, I'll be honest with you, it even sounds pretty good. Here's what you won't hear, is that Kamala Harris has already done it. Because she's been the vice president for 3.5 years, she had the opportunity to enact all of these great policies, and what she's actually done instead is drive the cost of food higher by 25%, drive the cost of housing higher by about 60%, open the American southern border and make middle class life unaffordable for a large number of Americans. If Kamala Harris has such great plans for how to address middle class problems, then she ought to do them now. Not when asking for a promotion, but in the job the American people gave her 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, now there is, I think, a bit of a fair criticism to say that the vice president doesn't get to do anything that she wants, but you would think she can get Uncle Joe. Or, if these are good plans, why weren't we trying them earlier in the administration? And again, you can't simultaneously claim to get all the responsibility and credit for the good things, and it's, you know, the Biden-Harris administration all of a sudden that she's running for president, and not take the blame for failing to do all the things that you came up with that you think are so good.
Donald Trump's economic plan is not just a plan, but it's also a record. A lot of those same economists attack Donald Trump's plans, and they have PhDs, but they don't have common sense and they don't have wisdom, because Donald Trump's economic policies delivered the highest take-home pay in a generation in this country, 1.5% inflation, and to boot, peace and security all over the world. So when people say that Donald Trump's economic plan doesn't make sense, I say, look at the record. He delivered rising take-home pay for American workers.
This to me was one of the most interesting moments of the night, where you had this conversation about expertise and common sense and willingness to do what the experts all say is wrong, but nevertheless it works out right in the end. And boy, if that's not brand Trump, I don't know what is I'm going to do the thing that makes sense to me. That, for example, like NATO, you know, it looks insane to threaten NATO that you'll not protect them against Vladimir Putin if he decides to invade, if they're not up to speed on their defense spending. But guess what? Making those kinds of comments got them to be up to speed on their defense spending. Turns out that proved pretty good when he actually did invade Ukraine. And even though they're not a NATO member state, NATO had a lot more resources in hand available to help them defend Russia. I mean, like that kind of stuff, right? They didn't talk about that, but that was the idea, is Vance is saying, look, Trump will say no to the experts when they're wrong. Walz, of course, for his part.
Made a question about experts, said this. I've made a note of this. Economists can't be trusted. Science can't be trusted. National security folks can't be trusted. Look, if you're going to be president, you don't have all the answers. Donald Trump believes he does. My pro tip of the day is this. If you need heart surgery, listen to the people at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, not Donald Trump. And the same thing goes with this.
Okay, it sounds like a good zinger, but he's not denying the advice of heart surgeons. He's denying the advice of economists. He's denying the massive sweeping policy implications of climate alarmists, right? When it comes to the things that J.D. Vance and Donald Trump and conservatives are questioning or challenging or disagreeing with, things like, you know, tariff policy, okay? Disagreeing with the experts turned out to be right more often than turned out to be wrong. I mean, the experts in the field of communicable diseases wanted to shut down the country. And they got that in some states. Terrible consequences for those states. Meanwhile, Florida. And DeSantis got dragged through the mud in the national media repeatedly over COVID policy, which, you know, didn't really cost us much in terms of lives overall in the aggregate by population and age once you wait for those things. But it saved our economy and made us the envy of the nation and freedom, and it helped our kids. So the experts cannot just be deferred to. That's why you have to have good judgment, good decision-making, because experts never know the whole story. And listen, I thought this was a very interesting conversation about the role of advisors, the role of expertise, and the fact that, you know, Donald Trump, historically, will do what makes sense to him. And even if the experts say he's wrong, he's going to say, well, damn the experts. I don't care.
You say trust the experts, But those same experts for 40 years said that if we shipped our manufacturing base off to China, we'd get cheaper goods. They lied about that. They said if we shipped our industrial base off to other countries, to Mexico and elsewhere, it would make the middle class stronger. They were wrong about that. They were wrong about the idea that if we made America less self-reliant, less productive in our own nation, that it would somehow make us better off, and they were wrong about it. And for the first time in a generation, Donald Trump had the wisdom and the courage to say to that bipartisan consensus, we're not doing it anymore. We're bringing American manufacturing back. We're unleashing American energy. We're going to make more of our own stuff.
Yeah, that idea of common sense or intuition or good leadership or wisdom, whatever you want to call it, versus the advice of so-called academic experts.
This isn't just an economic issue. I mean, I've got three beautiful little kids at home, 7, 4, and 2, and I love them very much, and I hope they're in bed right now. But look, so many of the drugs, the pharmaceuticals that we put in the bodies of our children are manufactured by nations that hate us. This has to stop, and we're not going to stop it by listening to experts. We're going to stop it by listening to common sense wisdom, which is what Donald Trump governed on.
Now, I will say there is a problem in the Republican Party. We have a populist slash anti-intellectual element in our party. There absolutely is. It shows up in theology. It shows up in ethics. It shows up in politics. It shows up in economics. It shows up in a lot of different places. There's times when it's appropriate to be skeptical about expertise and, you know, academic accomplishment and what the so-called wise leaders are saying. There's also time to realize that you don't know enough to disagree with them, or you don't know as much as you should. And there's always this kind of battle over the supposed intellectual superiority of people who have the degrees and the credentials and all of that. And, you know, meanwhile, the people who are actually running the businesses are like, no, sir. You know, and there's this old saw that, you know, those who can do and those who can't teach, okay? Those who can make results, those who can't have credentials and good arguments and write papers. You know, that kind of a dichotomy. Sometimes that winds up sounding like you're anti-science or anti-expertise, and it can be, and there's a problem with that, okay? Sometimes it's right. You know, the guy who's too sure of why a thing can't work is busy telling the guy who's making it work why it can't work. You know, that's a problem. So I actually kind of appreciated that extended conversation about to what degree should the experts be running things, and to what degree do you trust on the results that were gotten by a guy who challenges the experts a lot? John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just dealing with one accident right now. It's no roadblock associated with it, but I'm starting to see delays. Highway 98, if you're heading eastbound, right around Tony Lane, Casa Loma Drive, right in there. That's where the accident happened in over Mary Esther. Also, the one that on Woodbine has been cleared off the road, but we're seeing some delays. I-10 right now seeing some delays between Pine Forest and I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Seeing some delays already. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, or maybe putting off the decision about that next vehicle, or just kind of wondering if now is the right time, what's out there? Hey, Frontier Motors, a great source of good quality used cars, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old, 10 to 50, 60,000 miles, kind of what they really specialize in. You know, cars that, like Dave Ramsey specials, okay? Cars that you can get in and own and drive for a long time without having to pay the depreciation hit. And, you know, I'm just telling you right now, we just had a major hurricane. You have flood damaged cars, okay? Not just the ones that they're going to be pulling out of North Carolina and Georgia, but, you know, even, you know, lots in Orlando and Tampa have gotten lots of rain, and some of those in the Big Bend, some of those are going to have been flooded. How do you defend against that possibility that the car you might be buying from somebody on the corner or from some, you know, second sort of level used car dealership isn't one of those cars? Well, if you go to Frontier, they stand by their cars. They stand by. They will warranty them to 100,000 miles, and you know they're going to be there, so you know that if, you know, there's a problem, they will. But they're going to prevent that because they do the inspection and make sure that it's a good car to begin with. That's just one of the little things about going to an established used car dealer like Frontier, is you have that confidence and that security of mind that, you know, that's not a problem for you. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What is the purpose of life? This is a question that almost everyone asks themselves at some point. Some people would say their purpose in life is their children, while others would say their purpose in life is their spouse. However, not everyone has children and not everyone is married, so the answer has to be broader than that. The Bible's basic answer to what is the purpose for life is to give God glory in all that we do. And the primary New Testament way to give God glory is to be focused on speaking the message of Jesus Christ to our kids or to our spouse, and really to anyone that we come in contact with. The purpose of this life is to lovingly and boldly explain the offer of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So let us be about our Father's business.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Ready to unplug from the ordinary? To let loose, to open your mind, to sample a little bit of everything, to enjoy some culture. Find all this and so much more at the 11th Annual Foo Foo Fest, October 31st to November 11th. Start planning today at foofoofest.com.
Parrish packages are back, and they're featuring the number one compact tractor in the United States, the Kubota L2502 with quick attach loader, Land Pride 6-foot cutter, and Land Pride 6-foot disc, all for $29,999 cash or as low as $385 a month. Doesn't include tax, fees, or insurance. Plus, you get a free pipe top trailer. Visit them at 6701 Mobile Highway. Parrish Tractor, one of the largest Kubota dealerships in the country. 0% APR financing now through 9/30/24. See them or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Atlas Beverage Class, Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, flavors that force the South Dinner at Jackson's, holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. That's all today at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska.
And then he inserts a bit of a bio, you know, catch up, because J.D. Vance had done it earlier, which is when Tim Walz should have done it, but he goes back at this point to do it. And then he goes into this long explanation of how people know me, people trust me, people reelected me, which is not an answer to the particular claim, right? Which he's had some fact challenges with his claims over even the short time that he's been the vice presidential nominee, right?
Look, my community knows who I am. They saw where I was at. Look, I will be the first to tell you, I have poured my heart into my community. I've tried to do the best I can, but I've not been perfect. And I'm a knucklehead at times, but it's always been about that.
It is a pretty good line, I'm a knucklehead at times. But it doesn't explain how you got something so horribly wrong.
I will say more than anything, many times I will talk a lot. I will get caught up in the rhetoric. But being there, the impact it made, the difference it made in my life. I learned a lot about China. I hear the critiques of this.
And this is the one place where I give her a little bit of credit. Margaret Brennan actually came back and said, but sir.
Governor, just to follow up on that, the question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
Just, all I said on this was, is I got there that summer and misspoke on this. So I will just, that's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protest, went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
Okay. Not the best moment for Tim Walz last night. Not a particularly important moment in the grand scheme of this whole conversation. But it was interesting. It was actually, I thought, probably Margaret Brennan's one good moment in what was otherwise an abysmal performance, but she's just not up to this task. Nora O'Donnell is a rock star. I love her. I've loved her for years. She's a great newswoman, and she's the backbone of CBS News, has been for a long time. And, you know, sadly, she's leaving the evening news to take on a kind of an emeritus role. So that's their loss. God, I hope it's not going to be Margaret Brennan. Sorry. She's just not. It's not good enough. Anyway, but I have high standards. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to report right now. Everything's rolling good, except if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Again, through that construction zone, we're seeing some congestion delays backed up all the way to Pine Forest. So that's about a 10-15 minute delay there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. There was a very interesting moment last night. Now, they got into some various elements of the abortion conversation. You know, you notice that Tim Walz did not answer the question that she asked directly about whether he supports even ninth month abortion.
That you believe abortion, quote, in the ninth month is absolutely fine. Yes or no? Is that what you support? I'll give you 2 minutes.
That's not what the bill says, but look, this issue is what's on everyone's mind.
Total deflection. That was a complete non-answer, which was interesting to me. And also the whole issue of whether doctors are required to provide life-saving care for a child who is born in spite of a misperformed abortion. There was that kind of came. I'm not all that interested in that. What I am interested in is I've never quite seen it on such clear display. That you have one party, in this case, you know, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, who believe in federalism, the experiment of letting each state do things differently when it's a controversial matter or when it's a matter that has not been granted authority by the federal government, which is kind of our scheme. Federal government can only do those things the states grant it power to do. And on the other hand, the Harris Walz campaign, which believes that it is up to the federal government to do whatever it thinks the federal government ought to do. The phrasing didn't go that way, but here's what he actually said about wanting to make Roe versus Wade the law of the land at a federal level.
That you believe abortion...
I'm sorry, that's the previous one. Here, this is the one.
The fact of the matter is, how can we as a nation say that your life and your rights, as basic as the right to control your own body, is determined on geography? There's a very real chance, had Amber Thurman lived in Minnesota, she would be alive today. That's why the restoration of Roe versus Wade.
And to his credit, I thought that what J.D. Vance said about that being a sad tragedy, wishes she's alive, all of that. Okay. But what he's saying is the law should be the same in every state. And that women's ability to secure an abortion shouldn't depend on where they live. Well, the flip side of that is you might say that the right of the child to survive in the uterus shouldn't depend on where they live. Either geographically in one state or another, or locationally inside a womb or outside a womb, which has long been the argument of pro-lifers, is that location doesn't determine your personhood. And if location shouldn't determine your right to body autonomy, then location in a state or in a womb, not in a womb, shouldn't determine your humanity. I mean, I was kind of a little disappointed that J.D. Vance didn't pounce on that because he made such a tremendous misstep. But there's all kinds of things that vary by states. Your right to do all kinds of things when we have not granted to the federal government the authority to regulate that through the Constitution. He was basically saying, I do not believe in the principle of federalism. I do not believe in the concept of a constitution with limited federal authority to do what only the states grant it to do. It was a weird, massive concession to the worry that those of us who take states' rights seriously have always thought about the Harris-Walz campaign. 729 here on News Radio 92.3. We've got David Wayne with our headlines. David?
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Iran will pay for Tuesday's attack. Iran launched nearly 200 missiles towards Israel yesterday. Netanyahu making a statement after the attack, promising Israel will retaliate and saying Iran, quote, made a big mistake. American Picker star Frank Fritz has died at 60 years old. The antiques collector, American Pickers featured Fritz and his co-star Mike Wolf traveling across the country in search of rare Americana artifacts. Wolf announced on social media that Fritz had passed away Monday.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I have tickets. I have tickets to the Pensacola Symphony Orchestra coming up this Saturday, right? The 5th is Saturday. So you can go. It'll be a great show. Prokofiev and Rachmaninoff, among other things. And all you got to do is be caller number 3 right now. 437-1620, 437-1620, including some stuff from West Side Story as well.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Trump running mate J.D. Vance campaigns in Michigan today. Harris running mate Tim Walz in Pennsylvania after last night's vice presidential debate hosted by CBS News. They talked about foreign policy, the economy, and abortion. Senator Vance there agrees with letting state law decide.
We have a big country, and it's diverse.
Governor Walz says it's basic human rights.
These are women's decisions to make about their health care decisions and the physicians who know best when they need to do this.
Vance blames Harris for increased illegal immigration.
Kamala Harris started and said that she wanted to undo all of Donald Trump's border policies.
Walz says a bipartisan bill opposed by former President Trump would have helped.
1,500 new border agents, detection for drugs, DOJ money to speed up the adjudications on this, just what America wants.
Instant CBS and CNN polls say Vance was the winner barely. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 70 degrees. The sun shining in Pensacola today. A message for students and parents from the Santa Rosa County School District and Sheriff's Office.
It's important for our parents and our students to understand the consequences for posting or reposting a threat on social media.
That is Superintendent Dr. Karen Barber, and she posted a message online along with Sheriff Bob Johnson, who said no matter a student's age, if they post a threat on social media, they'll be made, quote, Facebook famous and perp walked into the Milton Hilton. Johnson also said parents will be charged for their investigative hours and legal fees. This warning coming after multiple school threats were made and students arrested across our area last month. Well, we are still keeping an eye on the Gulf for a possible development.
Basically a weak area of low pressure with some showers and thunderstorms. Pretty disorganized at this point. The formation chance through the next 7 days is 40%, same as it was yesterday, although over the weekend it was a bit higher at 50%. We just need to watch it. We'll keep you updated.
That is Channel 3 meteorologist Alan Strum. The National Hurricane Center also watching two systems in the Atlantic. Hurricane Kirk not expected to threaten land. Disturbance 2 has about a 90% chance of development. It's a couple hundred miles southwest of the Cabo Verde Islands, but still too early to tell what impacts that could have. The world watching Iran and Israel after yesterday's missile attacks.
If the past is any guide, it seems like this might just be signaling on Iran's part that they want to look tough as Israel is attacking Hezbollah.
That's UWF Associate Professor Dr. Jacob Shively, and he says what happens next will be important. President Biden has said the U.S. stands firmly with Israel. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz called the attacks unjustified and unacceptable in a post on X yesterday. Senator Rick Scott also released a statement saying the U.S. needs to make it clear that Iran will pay dearly for those attacks. A man was shot and killed in Escambia County last night. That happened between North Loop Road and Blue Angel Parkway at about 10:15 p.m. Deputies say a suspect was arrested and is currently in custody. Not much more information available on that, but we'll let you know as soon as we learn any more. Santa Rosa County tourism officials say they're hoping to add a new visitor center parking lot and boardwalk to the current pavilions and pier at Navarre Beach. That could bring in business opportunities.
There are some little stalls for small business operators so that they can go ahead and they can do their version of a store, which I love. So that's very positive. It gives small business local owners an opportunity to get into business.
That is Windjammers co-owner Tamara Fountain, also the operator of the Navarre Beach Pier. The TDC has saved $5 million of tourism money to put in on that project. The county's already approved some funding in next year's budget for that as well. Officials say they're still working on designs. Those would also have to be approved. And it is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Well, we just got a tip in on an accident that happened on Avalon Boulevard in Deluna Lane, a three-car accident. So just be prepared for that. That's going to cause you some major delays on Avalon. Other than that, let's see, no more accidents to let you know about. I-10 eastbound still backed up through that construction zone from Pine Forest all the way through the Highway 29. And also just if you're going southbound and northbound on 29, just south of 9 Mile Road, you're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
It is going to be a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Thursday, 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorm, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Rain chances increase on Friday with a 60% chance of rain, high near 83 and a low near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 72 degrees in Pensacola. It is 70 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were last higher this morning as investors weighed the state of the U.S. economy and considered the latest developments in the Middle East. The 10-year Treasury yield was last up by 2 basis points at 3.766%. An Australian driver who owns a BYD car, a Chinese brand of electric vehicles, has claimed that the software can listen in on his conversations. He explained the car's internal SIM could be dialed by an external party, allowing audio from inside the vehicle to be transmitted without the driver's knowledge. BYD said it is working to resolve the issue. CVS Health said it is cutting about 2,900 employees as part of a goal to reduce costs by $2 billion. The job cuts represent about 1% of the healthcare company's workforce. Meanwhile, Walgreens is planning to close up to a quarter of its retail locations. Futures are slightly lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 173. That's your money now.
The Port of Pensacola, where history and opportunity converge. Since 1754, they've been a cornerstone of Northwest Florida's economy. And today, they're home to over 20 leading businesses, including C-Mex Materials, General Electric Verona Wind Energy, and the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. More than just a port, they're a vital part of our region's growth. Discover the potential at portofpensacola.com.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. As the leader in identity theft protection, LifeLock reminds you to update your passwords. Using the same password across multiple accounts makes you vulnerable to cyber criminals. Updating your passwords is only one way to help protect yourself. For comprehensive identity theft protection, you need LifeLock. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes issues that arise. Start protecting your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Promo code Clay.
Join Robbie Mott from Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Robbie will be sharing his years of expertise on cycling, how to select your perfect bike, best maintenance practices, on and off-road safety, plus the accessories you may need to provide you with the best overall biking experience. Trek Bicycle Store Pensacola on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season.
News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. Mayor of Pensacola, D.C. Reeves, always joins us on this at this time on a Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Just, I want to kind of get this out of the way because I know it's a question a lot of people have asked, and I just want to make sure to get a definitive answer. Yeah. The port workers' strike, the longshoremen strike, basically does not affect us because we don't have unions and we don't do container ships at the Port of Pensacola, right?
Correct. Yeah. No direct impact. I don't want to speak for, you know, vendors that are on port that it might affect them, that kind of, there might be some kind of indirect, but in terms of city operations and things like that, there's no impact.
Right. And I just wanted to make sure that I had that right. Cause you know, like I said, a lot of people have asked me and I wanted to be sure to ask you. So I appreciate that. On the question of homelessness, if you and I talked a lot about last week and the new anti-camping ordinance that's in effect from the state, the one that you guys are proposing at the city council meeting, and are going to talk about that next time there's a rescheduled one, because you had to cancel last week because of the hurricane. One of the things, you talked about this yesterday during your press conference, is the kind of small-scale, I don't want to call them modular, but they're like tiny huts, but they're maybe $15,000 to $20,000, small, like 70, 80 square feet kind of thing. What is this all about? What are you trying to accomplish here?
Yeah, so just let's look quickly at the evolution of, you know, how we got here. First of all, you remember we've had conversations about low barrier shelter, something that I still very much support the concept of. We went and found someone who was running one in Florida and said, okay, tell us what it would take. Remember, we have about $1 million socked away in ARPA, one-time money. And so I've kind of earmarked that for this conversation.
Yeah.
So we have that conversation as a community. John DeCarmine comes in and says, not only will you need a building and need it retrofitted, you'll need another 1.7 to 2.5 plus per year, depending on beds and size, to operate it. So clearly, as I kept saying after that, was that a low barrier is going to take like a huge community conversation. Our healthcare partners, our business partners, the city, the county.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to be solved with $1 million of one-time money.
And by the way, can I pause you just for a second? I know there's people who haven't followed this conversation for a long time. When you say a low barrier shelter, you're saying a kind of shelter where it doesn't turn you away because you're high or drunk or because, you know, you have all kinds of reasons. It's basically anybody can come, and we just don't really have that kind of a facility right now. And so how do you solve for the people who can't go to Waterfront or, for example, you know, because of whatever reason? That's the low barrier concept. Anyway, just wanted to, people who might not know that, I wanted to make sure they're in the conversation. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, and low barrier is misperceived as you can do whatever you want when you're there. That's absolutely not the case. You described it correctly. It's just, it doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It's about getting you off the street and getting you help. And that, and obviously, if folks that follow the issue as a whole know that this is something that every community is struggling with, that's certainly a need, is to increase our scope of being able to get people off the street and into some kind of help, of their circumstances. So phase two of that, once we had that conversation, realized really $1 million is going to be a drop in the bucket to start that. And the last thing I want to do is start a low barrier shelter halfway. I mean, that would not be good use of taxpayer money. It wouldn't be good for the community. So we said, okay, well, what can we do? We have House Bill 1355 on the way. There is some unfunded mandate.
That's the anti-camping bill. Go on. Yep.
Yeah. So what do we do? Well, we looked at this and pivoted to this as a, how can we increase bed capacity today? Like, what can we do now? And so I'm committed to spending this $1 million of ARPA funding, federal funding, that would help buy these shelters. And these are
wind rated for Florida. They say 75 degrees and 120 degree weather. What I would like to do with them is put them in places where our current nonprofit providers have case management. Maybe they've got bathrooms. Some of these are built with bathrooms, and of course the cost goes up when you do that. These are things that could be implemented and triaged out now, relatively speaking. So, you know, there's kind of like, here's how we can, if we can get a couple more beds at our nonprofit for people who are ready to have their own space, what does that do? It frees up a couple more beds inside, maybe on the intake side, or someone who's just coming off the street now has somewhere to go. So it's trying to kind of relieve that pressure valve of bed space. So when our community response people see someone downtown, we can that much more confidently say to them, hey, listen, I've got a place for you. You know, and it's not always the deniability of, well, you know, yeah, I would take help, but there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
That's how we want to be part of that solution. And to me, in spirit, it's us trying to adhere to an unfunded mandate. And certainly you'll hear me over the next few months when legislature begins that I certainly would like that to become a funded mandate if that's something that they're going to be asking the city and county to do.
Okay. No, that's really interesting. And they're roughly the size of what you might think of as a small backyard shed. You know, obviously much more sturdy than that, as you said, rated for wind in Florida, which is a great side bonus. But the idea is placing these, and by my rough math, we're talking about maybe in the vicinity of 50 units for $1 million, something like that, maybe 40, 70, whatever. And so finding providers who help the homeless right now and giving them kind of an outside alternative for a lower barrier entry instead of inside. And no, that makes perfect sense. And it's federal money, so you got to spend it or it goes away. And to solve this problem. No, that's very interesting. All right. So that I appreciate that. And that's something that you're going to have to get voted on by the city council, or that's something you can just do?
Yeah, we'll have to change the we have to get the bid, whoever will win the bid. It's an RFP now.
Oh, gotcha.
Obviously,
okay.
Like you said, it's got to be encumbered by December 31st. So if we do this right, then you know, what's nice is we don't have to actually implement that by December 31st. So we don't have to take collection. We don't have to take donation and put them in a lay down yard somewhere on December 31st. We're actually able to triage them out as needed.
Okay. Okay. So,
you know, basically drop ship them into different locations.
Okay. So RFP now, city council approves that, request for proposal. Correct. So you pick a vendor and then you encumber the money. It's targeted to that. So you secure it from going away. And then over the course of time, correct, as you need them or find people who are able to, agencies that are able to handle them, you can put 3 or 4 or 10 in the right place. That makes perfect sense to me. I'm glad
and
you
have
explained
them there
that.
Immediately, yeah. and built immediately.
No, that's
nice
excellent.
You know, they could be taken up and down in hours, not days.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves about housing issues and a conversation I've been wanting to have with you for forever. We're going to have next. So hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just one accident to let you know about if you're traveling southbound on Avalon Boulevard toward I-10. Del Monte Street, there's a roadblock, a vehicle crashed there, so just pack your patience with that one or try an alternate route. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. All right, Mr. Mayor, you know I've been wanting to have this conversation with you for a while. I did an extended conversation a couple of months ago about my critique of the terms affordable housing, attainable housing, that I get so tired of hearing this term because when it comes up, it sounds vague and undefined, and everybody says nobody agrees about what the definition is. And my thought is, okay, well, then let's stop using these words. And let's instead find a different way to talk about it. Either we just talk about the rate of rent for the housing or the rate of, you know, ownership, whatever, for the housing, or maybe we create some other kind of label, brackets, like Alpha would be, you know, the lowest 20% of earners can afford this, and Bravo would be the next 20% of earners, up to Echo would be the luxury housing or something. Some way of talking about where our housing supply is, what's really missing, instead of this eternal, nebulous, everybody knows it's not a good term, affordable/attainable housing.
I think that's very astute. As a matter of fact, that's something that we discussed. I was at the leadership conference with U.S. Conference of Mayors that I've just got elected to, and the number one initiative for the current president, Mayor Ginther, out of Columbus, Ohio, is housing. So he actually had, if you look at it, there's a very good report I suggest anybody engaged in this subject should read. It's called The State of Housing, and it's put out by Harvard every year, and it's kind of And it goes real deep into trends, you know, how many multifamilies being built, for what age, all sorts of things. And so they came in, the leader of that group came and presented to us as mayors. Then Pew Research came and presented to us as mayors. Here to add another layer of complexity to what I think you make a very valid point. I agree with you. We have a kind of a communication problem.
Yeah.
Let me add a layer of confusion. The issue is to really solve housing. We need housing at every level. What happens is we're so short-sighted as a society, and we say, well, if 100 market rate units get built in our community, oh, well, then that's only serving this sector of people, not me. The reality is, as and this report would reinforce, is for every 100 market rate units that hit our market in Pensacola, within 2.5 years, it actually opens 41 affordable units. So when you hear that term missing middle, let's talk about another generic term that people really don't know what it means. What we really need to be working on is this workforce missing middle housing, and it actually helps solve at every level. And so that's, I think, yes, you're absolutely correct. I think we have a problem with how we define affordable, and it's going to be very hard for us to come up with those terms because it means something to everybody. It's different.
That's why I'm saying let's take ownership of the problem. You know, as you often say, I didn't create the problem, but maybe I can make a difference.
Right.
And instead of continuing to play the language game of a sort of complaining that it means a different thing to everybody.
Right.
Let's create categories. Let's come up with a language to talk about this. Because look, every community is going to have a slightly different kind of or shape of need, right? And if again, I'm just sticking with the A, B, C, D, E kind of housing. You know, let's say what you need is 20,000 alpha. Minimum wage type housing, which could be subsidized, whatever. But it's somebody who with a minimum wage job, maybe they can afford to live in it. You know, 40,000 Bravo, 100,000 Charlies. You know, like then you could say, okay, this is what we need. This is what we have. Where's the mismatch? Where should we be building? Where should we be emphasizing? And no, I totally agree with you that any stock is going to generally improve everybody's access. But at the same time, we can be smarter about. Again, talking about where the lack is, who's not able to secure housing, at what level, and where does it really need to be built?
Sure. And look, but if we snapped our fingers and had those categories and that gave us more clarity as it pertains to what we're building, there still will be this us versus them, winners versus losers mentality until we also understand the second point, which is truly, I mean, and look at what we're doing. We take the Motor Lodge and turn that into 60-70% better at housing. We take the Malcolm Young property and put it in the Community Land Trust. We look at Baptist Hospital. We look at trying to support market rate units at Maritime Park. So our strategy has been come one, come all, because we understand that to create true affordability, that cannot be done. Our housing crisis will never be solved by doing one sector or the other. But even if we clearly define what those sectors are, I'm either in it or I'm not in it.
Yeah.
Until we all understand that there's a mix, and certainly I think that's what we've shown is to say, let's be opportunistic as we can, whatever property we can control, and then how we can use that as a subsidy to create that housing that otherwise wouldn't be there. And so you identifying that as a dilemma is undoubtedly. I had conversations about that with other mayors across the country. That same thing, just because I'm
awesome.
Old newspaper guy, right?
Yeah.
How do we better communicate, what we're trying to do? So I 100% agree with that. But we also need to understand concept and policy. And that is where, I mean, it's always surprising to me. We'll announce a workforce housing initiative and it's like, well, wait, why are you doing that? Or wait, are they going to be built cheaply? There's just always this negative connotation and in some ways understandable. Negative connotation about any of these aspects going in.
And I think it
makes it tough, for sure.
And I think, honestly, I think if you created a clarity in the language, it might be easier to get people to understand why the policy is going. And maybe the clarity isn't A, B, C, D, E. Maybe the clarity is this is 40,000 a year household income housing, or this is 60,000 a year household income housing. Maybe even just numbers are a more helpful way to think about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but it strikes me that it's going to be hard to get buy-in on some of the policies until you have people with a better clarity of what's being accomplished. And even though terms like workforce or market rate housing, those might be terms that make sense to DC Reeves, I don't think they make sense to the average person. And that's, you know, as you know, in communication, it's does the recipient get it? So I just wanted to run that by you, and I'm glad to hear that you're already thinking about that. And, you know, just I thought it was a useful conversation that we might have for a second. And, you know, so good to hear that you're.
Yeah, and I think that's another good topic for us, you know, to talk about at length, you know, and answer some of those questions. You know, I think not just for the city, but just
in general.
What is the perception out there in our county, in our region?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I think it'd be really interesting to have that conversation.
We always like to end with a quick lightning round. First question is, did you ever read comic books? If so, who was your comic book hero?
You know what? Yes. My brother collected them. So, of course, he was 14 months older. I started collecting them. You know, I was always a Batman guy in the comic books or X-Men, too. But I had the number one Silver Surfer at some point. It's in an attic somewhere.
All right.
Silver Surfer number one.
Get that thing graded, man. You might be worth something.
Right.
When somebody warns you, either on TV or online, like you're surfing Instagram or whatever, this video may be disturbing to some viewers. You automatically click through, or do you turn it off?
I mean, I'm a human being, Andrew. It's hard.
It guarantees you're watching it, right?
Don't tell me you're so noble that you always turn away from that.
Oh, no, man. That's 100% click it open, right? That's the whole point. You're glued to the TV now.
That's like guerrilla marketing now.
That's,
you know,
exactly.
Just show that,
it is.
Guaranteed someone's going to watch it.
Guarantee they're going to watch. Last one, and this is a really divisive topic, but here it goes. Is Five Guys fast food or not fast food?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one.
Thank you.
I'm gonna say no. I mean, is Chipotle fast food? Yeah, I think to me it's like a fast casual. I say no. I'm gonna say no.
You're gonna say no. See, I lean in your direction. I know it makes John upset, but you know, I like to hear that we've made a comeback from last week's caramel or whatever.
thank goodness.
DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, as always, a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for the time, sir.
All right. Hey, thank you.
7:55 News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. Five Guys.
Yeah, it's still fast food. Anyway, we've got an accident that happened on Avalon Boulevard before you get to I-10 at Del Monte Street, which is backing up traffic all the way back to Sterling Way at that light right there. So just be aware of that. Also, we're seeing some delays right now on I-10 eastbound just due to congestion from Pine Forest all the way up to Highway 29 and through the Highway 29 exit. Just due to congestion and that construction. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Brunch and Bubbles, benefiting the Gulf Coast Kids House, comes up Sunday, October 27th at Portofino. Always a good event, definitely a good feed if you want to do that. Pensacola Symphony Orchestra, they are opening. They have their opening night coming up, and we occasionally will be having tickets for that. They're playing Prokofiev and Rachmaninoff and some Bernstein, so always that's going to be a good time for you. And also, we have Shred-a-thon is coming up. That is going to be, the 5th. That's this Saturday. That's right, from 8 until 11. Two box loads, or two bags, basically, per car. But out at the fairgrounds, get your stuff shredded. Cat Country 98.7, WARB ABC 3. The Better Business Bureau and Gilmore Services, along with News Radio 92.3, putting that on.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates the recent winners and finalists in the 2024 Pensacola News Journal Community Choice Awards.
Here is one of the recent winners who can say they are the best of the Bay.
Hall's Hardware has been honored to be nominated for Best Hardware Store by Best of the Bay 2024. They want to thank their hardworking staff as well as their loyal customer base and remind you they offer a great knife selection as well as an amazing variety of wind chimes and gifts. Hall's Hardware, 6606 Highway 90 in Milton.
Congratulations to all the Best of the Bay winners.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Beef. It's what's for dinner.
This time, I can play some Nickelback. It's fine. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headliner, too. David?
Well, apparently it's Fat Bear Week in Alaska, Andrew. They're running a tournament-style competition if you want to vote on your favorite fat bear. It's fatbearweek.com. No, .org, I'm sorry. Fatbearweek.org.
Big bunch of bullies.
Don't pick on the bears.
Don't pick on the bears. It's not their fault they're fat.
Pleasantly plump.
They're just getting ready to hibernate.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.